A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Eruvin Daf Dalid Amud Aleph, Eruvin 4a, pagination page 7, starting from about 15 or 16 lines from the bottom, the end of a line where there's a two dots and the word Omar. Omar Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, Omar Rav, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi said in the name of Rav, Shiurim, amounts, meaning in the Torah, amounts, how much matzah you have to eat in order to be considered a portion, etc. Chatzitzin, separations, when you're supposed to go to mikvah or wash your hands, what's considered a separation, that the water is not considered fully coming in contact with the skin. Umechitzin, and dividing barriers, how close does something have to be considered a barrier enclosed, the concept of lavud, that things don't have to actually touch, but that you have a three tefach allowance. Halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. All these are traditions from Moshe, from Sinai, that Hashem taught them to Moshe orally, and even though they're not recorded in the written law, they are part of Torah. Now, this basic principle is very logical. People read the written law, the five books of Moshe, and different mitzvahs are written there. And a person has the tradition that the five books of Moshe, the Bible, is valid, is true. But if you just read the text, you would not know how to do different mitzvahs. And it's very logical that there's a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, a method of explanation that came together with these laws. For example, if you were given a recipe book, and mom says, all the recipes in this book are phenomenal. They're all healthy and they're all good and everything's great. And you read the first recipe and it says to put in a dash of pepper. And you're wondering, what's a dash? You know, there's a comical children's book called Amelia Bedelia, where everything becomes a joke. I mean, what's a dash? I should dash across the street while I'm making the recipe? What's a dash? Quite frankly, what's a teaspoon? What's a tablespoon? Unless there's an oral tradition as to you've once been taught what these things mean. And that's the same thing over here. In fact, the Torah explicitly says, Ka'asher har'esa bahar, as you were shown at the mountain, regarding the Mishkan, regarding Shechita, how to do ritual slaughter, you were shown. Kasher Har'esa, as you were shown. So our Gemara tells us that these three things clearly are Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. Again, Shi'urim, how much of something is considered a portion. Chatzitzin, the separations, what's considered a separation so that the water is not considered having touched and the tevila or netila would be invalid. And mechitzin, which is the topic that's most relevant to us in Erevin, what's considered a barrier so that the area is enclosed and you can carry in it on Shabbos. The Gemara first explains shiurim, amounts. And the Gemara says that you have a mnemonic device remembering these different amounts based on the famous pasuk in Parshas Ekev that describes the fruit that Eretz Yisrael is praised for. The pasuk is over here on the next line. Eretz Chita, a land of wheat, Usaora, and barley. And the remaining part of the pasuk, we know, identifies Gefen, grapes, Te'ena, figs, Rimon, pomegranates, Zeshemen, olives, and Dvash Temorim, dates. The Gemara tells us, for example, skipping down two lines, Hanichnas leves hamenuga, a person who goes in to a house that has tsaras, v'kelev al kseifov, and he's carrying clothing, v'sandola v'tabaosav biyodov, and he's holding his shoes and his rings. He's not wearing these things, he's holding them. Hu v'hem tmei miyad, so then he's going to become tamei right away, ritually impure. But if he's wearing all these things, he becomes tamei right away. And they remain tahar because he's wearing them, so that they're classified as items that he's wearing. They have different rule. Until the amount of time that it takes to eat a portion, which is an identified amount, of bread made of wheat, because wheat bread is easier to eat than barley bread. Mesiv ochel, sitting in your place, you eat it faster. Beliftan, with a tasty spread on it, also makes it faster to eat. And that's the amount of time, something called kedei achilas pras, the amount of time it takes to eat this portion of bread. That's the amount of time that these items would be in the building that's tameh while you're wearing them, for those items become tameh and require mikvah. Rashi tells us the pasuk, v'ha'ochel babayis yichabes es begodav, only a person who eats in the house needs to wash his clothing. And our tradition on that is, you don't have to physically eat, but you're in the building long enough to be able to have eaten. So you have a fascinating thing, most people skip over this Gemara, but there's a difference entering a house of tzaras, whether you're wearing the garment, because then it's classified as a garment that you're wearing, as opposed to a piece of clothing, an article of clothing which went in. Article of clothing would become tummy at the same time as the person instantly upon entry. So that's something that has to do with wheat. You have to calculate it based on wheat. You have to have an awareness of wheat bread. Sa'ora, what about barley? And the Gemara says, etzem kisa'ora, a bone the size of a barley kernel, has the classification of a bone, and from a human body, it would cause tuma ba'ohel if it's in the same tent as the other items under discussion. The Gemara continues and says wine is referring to a nazir, a person who has to abstain from wine. On to the next page, te'ena figs is the size, a dried fig is the amount of a typical food that's considered the portion that you're not allowed to take out on Shabbos biblically. If you transferred that amount from one rishus to another rishus, it would be the violation. Rimon, a pomegranate, fascinating. When a vessel is partially damaged, broken, so it's still considered a vessel until it's so broken that it won't even hold rimonim pomegranates. So if a bucket has a hole in the bottom, so it can't hold water anymore, can't hold oil, can't hold wine, but until it's so damaged that it can't even hold fruit, it's still considered a vessel. And finally, zeishemen, olives. Most things have to do with the size of an olive, a large olive, how much matzah you have to eat, for example, is based on the displacement of water, same amount as an olive, approximately 1 ounce. How much displacement, the amount of murder. We practiced this using romaine lettuce leaves. You have to put in like 2 or 3 leaves into a cylinder in order to displace 1 ounce of water. Dvash, kichoseves hagasa, and regarding the tamarim, the dates, the size that's eaten on Yom Kippur for a violation, meaning the amount that satisfies a person. It's actually more than a portion. It's the amount that satisfies a person would be the violation of Yom Kippur. And that you always mentioned, this is very logical, that there's specific portions for these things, the same way that you go into a pharmacy and you know you need a certain drug, so they give it to you in a container, so you're not sure what to do, so you figure, I'll just drink it today. If drinking it over 7 to 10 days is good, drinking it right away is even better. And it says on the bottle, take 2 teaspoons once a day, twice a day. You have to follow the directions. Everything has portions in this world, and you have to know what the portions are, and that's what the Gemara is describing. The final section of the Gemara on this topic is the topic of chatzitzin, which, as I mentioned, has to do both with the original topic of discussion, which is going to mikvah. A person has to immerse themselves totally in mikvah, and the same principle, by extension, applies when we wash our hands for netilas yadayim to eat bread. And we'll just do quickly the basic principle, which is in the middle of the page between the up and down, beginning of a line, Rabbi Yitzchak, quoting a statement from Rabbi Yitzchak. Devar Torah, Torah law, is rubo umakbir alav chotzeitz. When a person immerses or washes their hands by extension, if the majority of the area that's supposed to be immersed is covered by an extraneous substance, and the person cares, then it's chotzeitz, then it's considered a separation. V'she'eno makbid alav eino chotzeitz. But if something that doesn't bother you, it's not chotzeitz. V'gazru al ruba she'eno makbid mishim ruba ha-makbid. But the Rabbanon, the rabbis, came along and made a legislation against majority of the body covered and you don't care. V'almiyuto ha-makbid, or minority of the body covered and you do care. In other words, either one of the main variables would become rabbinic, mishum ruba ha-makbid, because if you had both variables together, it would be biblical. So again, most covered, and it's something you care about, then it's biblical. If it's minority but you care, which is most of the time the case of that we're concerned with, or majority and you don't care, then it would be rabbinic. If you would have minority and you don't care,
then it would be violent.
Then it would slide through as okay.
Oh,
and
okay.
If it has both things to your benefit, people don't care and it's minority, then it would slide through. Now, some of the cases that come up, we don't have time for detail. This will come up many times in Shas. I'm sure we'll have time to elaborate. But, for example, if you have a little dye on your hand, but there's no separation because the dye is a discoloration of the skin, so then it's not a separation. It's a discoloration of the skin. Even if you object to it, but it's a discoloration, it's not a separation. If you touch it and you don't see any substance as in something like nail polish, would be substance. That's it for now. Good. We'll have time to elaborate a mitzvah shem on a different time. Have a great day. Yashkar.